Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for November 9th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour two of two. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We believe the checks and balances are absolutely brilliant that the founding fathers put in place. But, man, we seem to be jettisoning all that is holy, all that is sacred, all that is honorable, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, Veteran Day is coming up. They say a bank holiday. Beware of that. It's a tough decision of what even to discuss on the radio. Dr. Scott Bradley with us to preserve the nation, his goal in collegiate series. You can check it all out at freedomsrisingsun.com. Welcome, sir.
Well, thank you. Good morning to all. And I'll just say that it's a frosty morning in my neck of the woods.
It is everywhere, sir.
So, I always get... Go ahead.
Let's ask this quick question. It's hard to know what to talk about. Last night, a big mask mandate with fines in Utah statewide by the governor. I should say the lame duck governor, I might add, although I believe the next governor would do the same thing and maybe even more so. Time will
tell. I believe our next governor will be worse than our current governor, and that's a really big leap. That's hard to even imagine.
That's a scary scenario, to say the least. The mandates are out of control. What they're really trying to do is they're trying to literally test, contact trace, and isolate everybody. It's TCI, taste, or test, contact, trace, and then isolate is where they're really heading with that. And a lot of people thought after the elections, hey, don't worry, the cocoa would just go away. Oh, no, no. Not so fast. There's no vaccine for tyranny, ladies and gentlemen. And despite more and more evidence that the attitudes and the behaviors of bureaucrats and politicians are completely wrong on how to handle this thing, Trump was kind of wishy-washy on it. He stood for a lot of what was right, but yet he let his leaders kind of sell us out. But Joe Biden and others will be 10 times worse. The Utah state governor will be worse. The World Health Organization, the WHO, recently admitted that lockdowns do more harm than good. You would think every politician would back off, but oh, no, no. John Rappaport even writes, talking about the COVID tests, how false and fake they are, that even Anthony Fauci says when you run these tests, if the cycles go over 35, it's an invalid test. And it's basically bogus. There's a fundamental flaw, if you will, in the cocoa tests. But the number of application cycles need to be under 35, says Fauci. But the FDA is saying run them at 42. So we have a serious problem where hospitalizations are going up big time. People are getting sick. Tests are going through the roof. That's on one hand. The rioting in the streets, sure to come as a result of the elections, on the other hand. So it's hard to know whether we should talk about the cocoa or the vote fraud going on. But I think the vote fraud needs some attention here, ladies and gentlemen. Now, here's how I'm going to start this discussion for Scott Bradley. I just want you to know the AP, you heard me, the AP called it. Joe Biden reaches 270. Doesn't matter if states have finished their counting. Doesn't matter if states are saying, wait a minute, we got to recount. Doesn't matter if there's FBI or Justice Department investigations into fraud. Doesn't matter if the counts aren't complete. Doesn't matter if the states have conceded or not, or finalized their results or not. Doesn't matter what the Electoral College says. I want to tell you, the Associated Press called 270, doctor.
You know, it's interesting on election night. I try and pay some attention to these things, and I made some observations that, to me at least, were kind of interesting. There were projections in a lot of places, and you know, it's pretty easy to make a projection about Washington, Oregon, and California about how they're going to go. The deeper the population, the deeper the socialism. That's kind of a corollary of thought on that, but I watched, for example, fairly early in the evening, Virginia, I think, had about 10% of their votes counted, and they called it for Biden. And I thought, holy cow. I mean, you know, things can change as the evening goes on. You look back in 2016 as to see how things shaped up. And you're absolutely right. The Electoral College vote is not even scheduled to occur until mid-December. The idea that states have to certify them in the next week or two, it depends by state. And a lot of the votes have not finished. The one in Arizona that particularly chapped Mr. Trump and his team, the Arizona was called by Fox to begin with. And, of course, Fox revealed their true, I think, colors on those kinds of things. But the fact of the matter is they had over 500,000 votes still to count. And it's been one of those, you know, situations where you say this can still go anywhere.
Other states like Florida had 99.9% of their votes counted, and they would not call it for President Donald Trump on the other side of the coin.
It's absolutely true. And right now you go to virtually any of the lame brain mainstream media organizations, and they have Biden set up with 290 electoral votes and Trump with 214. They're done. And I'll tell you, one of the real concerns, I mean, there should be a point when we do have this completely resolved with all of the issues on the table, and we could talk about why there are so many issues on the table, and I wish we would for a little while. But the point of the matter is the problems we're going to have if this ends up flipping. I mean, there will be blood in the streets. I do not doubt that for one nanosecond. I believe that the people will feel that they have been robbed of their rightful victory, those that are in Biden's camp. And if it's flipped, what's happening right now is a precursor to a deep and wide angry response that I'm concerned will result in not just a low-grade guerrilla warfare like we've been having going on in this country. It will be an open rebellion that will cause great trouble. Now,
all right, so here's my headline for this, and I want to get your take on it. AP calls it, ? Joe Biden reaches 270. Election night, coup d'etat exposed? Dr. Bradley.
Well, you know, just think for a minute with me. 4 years of arduous, unending, totally, completely unbounded efforts to unseat Donald Trump. I mean, from the very moment that it looked like the election was going to flip from what the polls said they were going to be on back in the November of 2016, clear until this very moment. I mean, how many times do they get a shot? I mean, literally, that's the only thing that's been missing in the effort to take this president out. And it has been unending. In every case, it has gone nowhere. Why would anybody think that this opportunity would go by the wayside without a strenuous effort to pull the levers of government in their favor? And by the way, I truly believe that the whole setup, this mail-in vote, this idea of motor voter registration, the idea of mass registering of voters, I mean, the whole thing, we need to go back to a heritage or a vintage kind of voting with people coming to polls, voting in person among their neighbors.
Can't, Dr. The Coco.
No. The Coco was a facade.
Oh, it's going to just kill everybody. You ain't seen nothing yet, buddy. They're going to contact trace. They're going to test. They're going to lock everybody down and isolate. They're just getting started, I hate to tell you.
Don't you think this is all related?
Oh, yeah, I know it is.
I mean, stop and
that's
and
why,
think about this.
That's why I bring these two topics up together, Doctor, like I do. So Rand Paul mocks them a little bit on this, and here's what he said. Rand Paul, quote, "Your government sent 1.1 million dead people stimulus checks. I wonder how many of those people also voted absentee." And so that's kind of the mocking that Rand Paul is giving this thing. Now, Georgia Secretary of State, quote, "There will be a recount. Nearly 9,000 military ballots still outstanding." So I don't see how the Associated Press calls it when states haven't certified their votes, when states aren't finished counting votes, when states are still in some situations where it's closer, claiming they need a recount, where there's not only allegations by fraud by President Trump, which the Democrats and the liberal media say has no evidence, but you see the James O'Keefe video showing evidence. You see people willing to testify of vote fraud evidence. You have documentation of missing ballots at the post office where the courts already ordered the post office find them. They didn't find them on time. This is not over yet, number one. Number two, I agree with Dr. Scott Bradley that you'll see probably rioting in the streets like you've never seen before, because if the courts double down for Donald, even if they might be truth-telling at that point and getting to the transparent truth on this, what they'll say is, you know what, Donald stacked the courts and now the courts are paying him back. If Trump loses, it won't go well. So I don't know what's going to happen here, but I don't believe it's over yet at all. I think they have committed fraud. The only question is, does the nation have the stomach to see transparency on the fraud? Will the courts tell the truth? Will the states, will the Electoral College right this wrong? Will we see an overturn? Well, you got Joe Biden and Kamala Harris already doubling down and starting the transition period. Donald Trump complaining about it. Kurt Crosby first, and then we'll get to Dr. Scott Bradley. What do you expect to happen?
Well, we've sure had, havoc from sea to shining sea, and I guess I expect more of it, Sam. I wish I could say it differently.
When we come back, who gets sworn in January 20th? Which one of the two or nobody? Is it delayed? What do you suggest is going to happen? Liberty Roundtable Live.
One thing 2020 has made clear: being prepared for the unexpected sure helps in times like these. In this spirit, we would like to invite your family to the Loving Liberty Emergency Preparedness Fair at Liberty Hall, Saturday, November 21st, from 11 to 3. Whether you're just starting your preparedness out or you're looking for a few more odds and ends, we've got you covered. Hear from preparedness experts, get supplies from vendors, enjoy great barbecue from the IDK barbecue food truck, make new friends, and connect in person. Come, join us Saturday at Liberty Hall, November 21st, from 11 to 3. Just register online at lovingliberty.net.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to tell you, because of the cocoa, this commercial has to be taken out. It's been canceled. Otherwise, you get, what, $10,000 fines?
In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Well, Sam, and Dr. Scott Bradley, we find ourselves in a cool, crisp Utah morning, and yet, things are really heating up across the country, as far as I can tell. One of the things you mentioned, Sam, was that, I think it was Dr. Scott Bradley mentioned that, hey, what would happen if the, quote, results were overturned through the courts or through the investigations that are going on now. And I thought this story from WorldNet Daily kind of gives you a picture of that.
You can do that, but you're supposed to answer my question, though. Who's going to get inaugurated?
I know, Sam. I think the president will get inaugurated, but I'm
okay, so you believe the courts will get involved and will overturn what they're claiming?
I don't think it's just the courts. Okay. I mean, we're seeing a lot of people involved from right up top to bottom. We're seeing, I guess, you know, that's why I bring up these examples to say this is why I believe this to be true. You know, for example, I don't think there's any safe way to get around it. You're still going to have upset people. Just like in this story, it says Biden supporter thought yard sign would deter angry protesters, but video shows he was wrong. Guy had a Biden sign, and because he was white, you know, he was just kind of a target and a problem. And then you've got
now, by the way, as much as we may disagree with this guy and his support for Biden, I believe he has every right to his beliefs, and we need to be peaceful about that. And that's a sad tale.
Right. We're not going to take away his sign, but he had literally, I think, put the sign up, and he tried to talk to these people. It shows a video of it and stuff. Tried to talk to them and say, hey, I'm on your side and all that kind of stuff. But that still wasn't enough. They were very adamant about him being a problem because he's a white guy, Sam. And then, you know, the other thing I would say is I'm hopeful that we get something akin to, you know, a new movie I watched, you know, and I know that you'll say, oh, Kurt, there you go off on a movie thing. But this movie's called Honest Thief. I don't know if either one of you have heard of it, but in this movie, a bank robber, you know, he kind of gets religion, if you will. In other words, he falls in love with a woman and he wants to confess and straighten up things. And I'm hopeful there's a bunch of these people that are aware of these criminal acts, and I already believe we see this happening, that they'll come forward and they'll say, hey, I want to clean up my, you know, clean up things in America and my life, and I want to, you know, come forward and say, here's what happened. Like when you see these vans full of Biden votes, you know, that somebody says, hey, here's what happened. Here's who told me about it. And this is why I'm coming clean. I don't want to live with this lie. And that's what I hope happens as we investigate what the president started to do in the early days of his presidency, where he had a voting fraud commission, but it never really went anywhere. I'm hopeful that the next 2 to 3 months will bring a deep dive into this problem and hopefully some real solutions.
All right. I pray Kurt's right. Dr. Bradley, what do you think is going to be the case?
You know, as you guys know, I've been involved in this effort to restore the cause of liberty, the proper government. We were bequeathed at such great cost for decades. And I've been back and forth across this country from Florida to Alaska and New Jersey to California many, many times speaking. And I can't tell you how many times there have been people that I've run into that, you know, people would say, oh, they're on the fringe and everything like that, that they want to get their, you know, M16 and run out in the streets and start a battle. And, you know, this goes back, you know, when my phraseology will date it a little bit because, you know, now everybody's flying F-35s. But I'd say to them, you got an M16, but they got an F-16. And napalm is really a difficult thing to fight. But I've known people for decades that as we've gone back and forth across the country that are willing to come to revolt. And I've always discouraged that vehemently and said there's two things that we have the American founders did not have. One was the Constitution.
And hold on, and that no other country has, let's be clear.
That's correct. One was the Constitution, and I say was, and in a purposeful way, and I say the other was the vote. And those two things took away the need or even the purpose or legality of bloody revolt, because we the people have the tools to correct this. But for over those decades, there's been an effort to shred the Constitution. While we currently still have that organic document, and anybody can pick one up, and I usually carry several personally when I'm out and about. And so it's easily obtained, but so rarely applied. And what we have now is just a skeletal remains in terms of daily operation. Yeah, we have a bicameral Congress, and we have an executive, and we have a judiciary. But the fact of the matter is that it's almost never applied. Almost never. Everything is done by a dictate, as though a communist regime was in power, or a monarch, or something like that. These mandates, for example. And the American people have completely lost their bearings as to understanding the limits and bounds, checks and balances, separation of powers, the idea of delegated authority. All those kinds of things have been abandoned by the American psyche. And so that's been going on for decades. And then they've been wheedling away at the vote. You know, they get these voting machines that are so easily hacked, and they manufacture votes and manipulate votes and everything. And now we've got this horrid thing of mailing in votes. I mean, and printing presses work really good, and they can print up lots and lots and lots more than they should. And if you got unscrupulous people that are involved in opening and counting those things, and this stuff has been put in place. But
Dr. Bradley, if you can accept fractionalized banking, where there's fiat and no hard backing, why can't you just fractionalize voting? Come on now.
You know me well enough, and I know you're joking, but the fact of the matter is, you're right. I don't accept fractional banking. And it's been a facade that's been facilitated by Keynesians all down through the 20th century, basically. But the fact of the matter is that Americans no longer seem to have the understanding of what it takes to obtain and maintain liberty. And I'm really, really concerned for the Republic.
Amen. Now, I am joking about that in a way, but I'm also trying to highlight a real truism, though. Honesty is the issue, Doctor. And if we don't have honesty in our medium of exchange, in other words, our money, our medium of exchange, then I'm telling you, we can't have honesty in other things. How do you expect it? The core of every transaction is dishonest.
It absolutely is, and it's not just money. I mean, I don't want to demean or diminish what you're saying, because you're absolutely correct.
No, you're right. It's not just money. I'm just saying money is one of the core pieces. If we're not honest in our transactions, one with another, on every single transaction, because of the dishonesty in the core of money, I don't know how we'll be honest in everything else. So honesty is the issue, and it's not just money. You're exactly right. But I compare it because that's kind of at the core. It's been going on for 100-plus years. And if you expect honesty in everything else except for our core transactions, you've lost your mind.
Well, war is the most onerous burden that any nation ever bears, and we haven't had a constitutional war in this country, probably not a just war in this country, for more than 200 years. And so here we talk about these things and the limits and bounds and all these kinds of things that happen. How can you take my money to give to Kurt because he's poor? I mean, you know, it'd be the other way around, probably Kurt's money being taken by you to give to me. But I make the point in saying the whole thing is a basis of fraud, and that we don't understand that none of these things are authorized. But we're more interested in whether or not somebody's going to have an NFL or an NBA season than we are about protecting these things. Now, let's go back to your question about the 20th of January. Kurt brought something up that really concerns me, and it's very fortuitous he did. This election fraud commission that was initiated here almost 4 years ago, as he talks about, didn't gain any traction. I'm very, very concerned that will be the same outcome with this, because, oh, just accept what the voters said. Well, the voters...
In fact, Mitt Romney's already doubling down and mocking President Trump on that very issue.
Well, Mitt Romney hasn't been right on very many things in his entire life, I don't believe. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, here's the guy that started Obamacare in Massachusetts, was the template for what Obamacare later became. He's the one he's the godfather of same-sex marriage in the United States by his own executive edict. I mean, we can go on and on and on about these things.
And he carpetbags in Utah and then gets elected by hook or by crook. And ladies and gentlemen, we're in trouble. You want to know why? It all comes down to the morality.
I'm listening, Sam.
It all comes down to the morality of the people, ladies and gentlemen. Quick pause.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Considering the average flu shot is 40 to 60% effective, today's announcement by Pfizer of a COVID-19 vaccine that's 90% effective is a great day for Earth's population. The study was conducted with nearly 44,000 people. 50 million doses will be available worldwide this year for the two-shot procedure, with more on the way. The markets are rallying at this hour after the news was announced. The Dow Jones is up 6.5%, hovering around 30,000 points. Russia has joined China in not congratulating Joe Biden for his self-proclaimed win of the presidential election. Both countries have said they will wait until the election results are official. At this time, zero states have certified their ballot counts, numerous lawsuits are pending, and some states don't have final numbers yet. Speaking at a regular press briefing in Beijing Monday, Chinese Foreign Minister spokesman Wang Wenbin said that China had noted Biden's declaration of victory. USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature is fruits and vegetables in a capsule. Changing the world, one life at a time.
I had begun to notice after 10 days with Balance of Nature, I felt better, more energetic. And believe me, for me, that's something because I have energy anyway. But as old as I am, that was really something to start really noticing. You know, we're all responsible for choosing what our attitudes are, but I had a better mental outlook. I mean, I always try to be positive, but there were subtle things in me that I began to notice. I just felt a difference with this.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
The battle for the Senate is all but certain to come down to Georgia as the close race for Republican Senator David Perdue's seat likely heads to a runoff election. Perdue fell below 50% in his race against Democrat John Ossoff. When no candidate clinches a majority of the vote in Georgia, the top two vote-getters compete in a runoff, and that's going to take place on January 5th. With four uncalled races, the Senate breakdown currently sits at 48-48. Retail giant Walmart said on Friday it was selling its retail operations in Argentina to a South American supermarket chain and pulling back as that country struggles with an economic crisis. Walmart did not disclose the size of the deal involving more than 90 stores, but it said it would record about a $1 billion loss related to the sale in its fiscal third quarter. Tropical storm Etta is tracking near South Florida and may re-strengthen, possibly into a hurricane. Etta made landfall in Cuba early Sunday morning as a tropical storm. The center of Etta is now moving over the Florida Straits. USA Radio News.
All right. Thanks for your patience during the pause. You're back up, Dr. Bradley, as you are continuing. You're very concerned about the point Kurt made.
Well, yeah, it's so easy to discount that, and the superficial view of all of the lame brain mainstream media is that, hey, wait, we, you know, this is all a done deal. How could there ever be a problem? And they want to sweep it under the table. But the fact of the matter is, there are, as in noted in that just finished news break, that there are many strings untied, if you will, in this whole thing. And it's interesting to me, by the way, that the Republicans made some pretty amazing inroads in for the House, for example, as well as in the states. And for example, by all actions, you know, I don't know the man in Montana that's been the governor, but his actions indicate a very communistic perspective on things. And they just elected a Republican governor. They were done with that up in Montana. So there have been gains by, you know, Trump's party, and these are not reflective in how things were handled for him. And it's almost like, you know, and this is something that needs to be thoroughly examined. There needs to be a complete airing of this thing as to why Trump got thrashed, was beaten in states that did a flip on the way they were running a lot of their policies. And by the way, there's an old it's an anecdotal story, and I think it's true, but I'm not positive, that in one of the Kennedy elections for Jack Kennedy, his dad says, look, we're only buying as many votes as we need, and I'm not paying for a damned landslide. And it's like, this stuff's been going on for a long time. And they're just getting by the skin of their teeth, and they're not paying for a landslide, which many thought it would be for Mr. Biden. But there's these shenanigans, these kind of difficult to explain flips that happened in the middle of the night, and then there's those that are seeing truckloads of ballots being brought in after the ballot.
Is it a stretch? Is it a stretch to say they've kicked off a coup d'état?
Well, that's what they've been trying to do for 4 years.
Yeah, but now they've got it done. Depending on now, I wrote an article, an open letter to Donald Trump back in 2016, and the reason that I did is because I was being attacked relentlessly for interviewing Donald Trump Jr. And I had James Edwards with me, and they basically said James Edwards was a white supremacist KKK guy, which nothing is true. They even lied about James Edwards in Detroit, Michigan, the Detroit Free Press or whatever, said James Edwards was a KKK leader in their article. James sued them. He lost. And their justification was, no, it's the company you keep, James. Aesop's Fables wins here. Never mind that your case fits the textbook definition of libel and slander. We don't care. And so James lost. Well, I wrote an article about all this, and I basically said, open letter to President Trump. Hey, I interviewed your son. They're slamming me for it. They're slamming James for it. They're slamming your son. Your son has disavowed us over at President Trump. Okay, how come Joe Biden, Barack Obama can hang out with literally Jeremiah Wright and Black Lives Matter and Antifa and Louis Farrakhan? And we go on and on and on. These communists and thugs, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden. And they don't get beat up, but yet, you know what, if you hang out with James Edwards, who does believe the white people have a right to speak for their cause, he does believe that white people have a place at the table for discussion. He's not full of hate. He's not a KKK leader. He's never even been a KKK member, for that matter, but they lied and committed libel and slander. Now, President Trump said, hey, I'm going to go after libel and slander in my first administration. He never did. But I'm telling you, who owns the media makes the rules. And we defend our interview with your son with no apologies, no equivocation, and no surrender. And then I go on and say this, and this is relevant here 4 years later. I say this: you have had incredible success, President Trump, when you stand with the truth and take on the media directly. However, when we back down and capitulate to their demands and to their false narrative, we lose the moral high ground. In my opinion, you will eventually lose your campaign for president if you do not stand against these intentional, media-created fabrications. We should always be willing to follow the Prince of Peace and stand for that which is right, especially when it isn't easy to do so. We should be willing to talk and work with everyone in an effort to unify all people and to make America great again. Anyway, then I give an invitation that he can come on the radio program and let's stand together for the sacred cause of liberty. I bring this up, though, because I predicted it. I was a little bit late. He won the first round, and now it's the second round. But the same principles apply. He never got to the bottom of libel and slander. He never got to the bottom of vote fraud. And if the vote fraud that he speaks of is really true, which I believe that it is, then he had 4 years to try to clean it up. He didn't. And now it's coming back to bite him, and he doesn't really have a leg to stand on. What I mean by that is, he's right. But if he's right, and vote fraud happened in 2016 to the point, who went to jail? How did we solve this in the last 4 years? All we did was talk about it, get shut down when they shut down his commission. Now he's complaining about it, but I don't see anybody going to jail. And if there's vote fraud on a grand scale for literally dozens of years, and there's no accountability, in other words, nobody's going to stop that secret combination, then why are you surprised when it continues to increase? Okay, if you don't stop the infestation of roaches in your house, cockroaches, then why are you surprised when you wake up one morning and at some point the roaches are just taken over to the point where you just can't live with it anymore? Why are you surprised? Doctor, I don't mean to be ignorant, but I predicted this in writing in an open letter to the President of the United States.
Well, you know, there's so many pieces at play on this whole thing. You hear about people talking about Trump and how he's playing, I don't know, fourth, fifth dimensional, whatever, chess with everybody, and he's got this under control. And it would appear to me that he did not and does not have it under control. And it's, as you point out, something that should have been bird-dogged right to the very nth degree in the last 4 years. There was no stomach to do that. And I'm not confident that in the next 2 months we're going to find that that's easily brought to closure. And I think you can take any level of anything you want to. I mean, whether it's Hunter Biden's thing or the stuff that's happening in terms of international money transpiring coming into the Biden family, all those kinds of things. None of this stuff, the Hillary Clinton lock her up chance, none of those happened. I mean, the idea of her selling off so much of our strategic uranium, the idea of payments coming in from the Kremlin into her camp rather than into Trump's camp. I mean, she was the one that was being influenced by Putin's organization. We can go on and
so
on.
So here's
and
the
on.
Way here's That's the way the I see it, though. If we didn't have the stomach for it last election, and if Trump's right, there was vote fraud, and I believe there was in 16. And if we're not going to drill into it when we've known this is going on for decades, if we're not going to stop the media from their libel and slander, they can call James Edwards a KKK leader, even though he's never even been a member, much less a leader. It's just not the truth, okay? But if they can say President Trump is just a sore loser, a crybaby, a little toddler, and they can commit vote fraud and no one's going to be put in jail. We said lock him up. What was it, in 2015 we were saying that? And we really thought we'd see pay dirt. Now, I'm not here to attack President Trump. What I'm here to do is document the stomach that the people have and the willingness their leaders have to truly take on secret combinations. And they're not doing it. And so as much as I think there is vote fraud, what I think they'll do is the courts, the Electoral College, everybody will come back and say, hey, there was vote fraud in isolated instances. There's no doubt about it. We have stopped the bad guys at low levels for doing that. We're so sorry. Trump did. I mean, he wasn't right on the grand scale. He overstated the issue. But there is a couple of examples where. But you know what? That's not enough to overturn the election. In fact, we've never overturned an election in the United States at a grand scale like this at all. And we've never had vote fraud at a grand scale. Yeah, there was a couple more glitches because of the COVID. We had to do a little bit of different things. And a couple of unscrupulous folks took advantage of that, by golly, for sure. But it won't overturn the American people's will, Dr. Bradley. It surely won't do that. And then they'll just move along. And Donald will be forced to capitulate. I hope I'm wrong, but I bet that happens.
I pray you're wrong, but my perception is that, sadly, that's been our tradition. And voter, I'll give you an example. Back in 1948, when Lyndon Johnson stole the election down in Texas, and the Supreme Court went along with him. By the way, some of those Supreme Court people that were involved and the people that were facilitating
Hold on,
that,
not in 48. You mean 68?
No, 48.
48, okay.
When he was running back in Texas, you know, he's going into Congress.
Okay,
I mean,
so let's be clear there. So people don't need to understand. So we're talking about it was a state election in Texas before it ever
correct.
Became a presidential discussion.
And the Supreme Court didn't, they refused to observe it. Hoover brought stuff to the Kennedy fraud in the 1960 election. It probably wouldn't have overturned the election. But I'm here to tell you that the Attorney General at the time, Robert Kennedy, refused to look at it. I mean, this has just been the way we sweep it under, and they say, well, we'll pick it up next time. And
the
they
coup d'etat
never gets picked up.
Lives on.
Never gets picked up.
Regrets? Oh, we're all going to have them. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do. At some point, you're going to wish you'd done something differently. You know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But let me tell you a couple of things you'll never regret. You'll never regret spending extra time talking to your teenager, trust me. You'll never regret answering your 3-year-old's question about where the water in the bathtub comes from. And I've never seen anyone wish they hadn't sat in the kitchen laughing with their children and telling them goofy stories about when they were kids. Yeah, sure, we're all gonna have regrets, but talking too much with our kids won't be one of them.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at mormon.org.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
All right, so that commercial there from Rand Paul about pro-life, I believe, is the reason we're in the trouble we're in, folks. It is a morality issue. Okay, and I'm telling you, the people don't have the stomach for the truth. The courts may try to care and may try to do something, but I think that the chances of us getting this election overturned is almost zero. And even if there's vote fraud and even if they prove it, I think what they'll say is it's isolated cases, can't do much about it. And, you know, hey, we'll get to the bottom of the bad actors on occasion. Sorry, there was a new mail system in place. We're in unprecedented times. Therefore, hey, you know what? It was glitchy. We agree. But the will of the people has been really delivered. And that's the end of that. And Trump, you're just a sore loser. And I say that because the Democrats are against Trump. The media is against Trump. There's still significant folks appointed by Republicans that are against Trump on the courts. And there's a lot of Republicans against President Trump. Romney typifies the spear on that reality check. And I pray that Kurt's right. But I'm predicting that the people aren't moral enough to deserve anybody who would even approach righteousness. We've embraced socialism and communism for so long. We murder the most innocent among us. And if you think you can just turn your back on God that blatantly, that openly, that clearly, and expect to have liberty, I'm telling you right now, it doesn't work that way in the eternal tally of things. It doesn't work that way when eternal law and eternal principles are in play. You can't wait to the judgment bar for individuals to be judged for their deeds done in the body. Nations are judged, for the most part, immediately for their reality. Okay, and so I wish it were different, but I've been predicting this forever. I predicted Donald Trump would be in trouble if he doesn't start locking people up and if he doesn't have a handle on this. I predicted that, hey, you can't just allow the libel and slander. When the courts of this land at the appellate level say, James Edwards, we don't care if you're a KKK member or a leader or not. You know what? By the company you keep Aesop's fables, we're going to say you're guilty even though it's not true. Carry on, press. And then President Trump says, hey, I'm going to go after libel and slander, and he literally does nothing in over 4 years. And when we say lock him up, the will of the people hasn't been done. The people wanted to lock up criminal activity. We never did a thing. We just let prisoners out of prison. That's all we did. And so, Kurt, to you now, I'm not trying to be negative, but I don't see how we as an immoral people can expect God to protect us.
Well, there's I'm not going to defend the idea that we can be immoral and have God protect us. I won't do that. But what I'm hoping for, Sam, is that the good people of America, that they will see the importance of this and that they will continue to pray and or work. Well, pray, for example, like it all depends on God, and work like it all depends on them, so that we can have justice and a, righteous outcome on this election.
Amen. And I agree. None of us are going to defend immorality and the blessings that we could get from that stance. I agree. What I would hope, though, and this is what I don't know, I would hope God would give us another chance. You know what? He gives us tender mercies every day in personal life. And I think as nations, they receive tender mercies as well. And I pray we get a tender mercy here. I pray that there's enough good in this nation where the Lord says, you know what? I'm going to give you another opportunity to turn to me. That's my prayer, Dr. Bradley.
Well, going back to 1787, you know me, I always do stuff like this.
Love it.
During the convention, George Mason said, as nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. And then Jefferson later said, and can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when they have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are of the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but by his wrath. And there's a case to be made of when nations have ripened in iniquity to the point that they've abandoned these things. Now, I left home when I was 16 and traveled this country. I'd been from Florida to Alaska when I was a teenager. And that was before going in the service and having developed a great love for this country. And I love America, just not the principles of the nation that it was founded on. I love the people. I've been in their homes, in their farms, and eaten meals with them in their humble settings.
Yeah, you almost did a modern-day de Tocqueville, didn't you?
Well, in a lot of ways. But the fact of the matter is, I didn't have the intelligence and the documentation skills of him. But the fact of the matter is, this nation is utterly amazing. And there are good people. And as Kurt points out, the people need to pray, but we need to work as though it all depended on us, too. And God, I'm praying, will also have mercy on us. But the fact is, I really believe that the nation is at risk right now. The republic is at risk. And, you know, I mentioned the 1948 Lyndon Johnson debacle earlier, but in 1946, and probably many of your listeners are aware of this, in Athens, Tennessee, there was voter fraud on a very small-scale local basis, but the people took it in their arms, and that has a double meaning, perhaps, taking it in their arms. And I'm very concerned that if we get to the point where we have broken the two things that were protecting us against violence, the Constitution and the vote, that there will be individuals that resort to arms. And it'll be very ugly if that happens. It'll be.
And we pray and we'll work and we'll do everything we can to prevent that from happening, because we do follow the Prince of Peace. Now, I want to broaden the discussion before the end of the hour to say this. I'm concerned because the people are immoral. And I agree with Kurt that I pray for a tender mercy. I agree with Kurt completely. I hope Kurt's right. But I will say this. We need to understand that, you know what, the morality of the people matters. Who's president doesn't really matter that much. What I mean is they're primarily a puppet. They're only one of the three branches of government. I'm not saying they can't do good or do bad, because they certainly can. But I will say this, the morality of the people and the behavior of the people matter a whole lot more than the president will ever matter. And the reason I bring this up is not to say the president doesn't matter, okay? But to say that, hey, with, say, a Biden in place and a Harris leading us off the rails, if we're a moral people, we can stop, mitigate by turning to God anything he can do that would lead us towards communism. And we need to think broader and say, you know what? You know what? Good presidents will come and go, and good leaders will come and go, and all that kind of stuff. We need to elect the right leaders. But I'm telling you right now, if you want to estimate something, it's the morality in the people, and it's the new media taking center stage to truth tell. Those two things will matter more than any president elected will. Okay? Now, I agree if you could get a George Washington or somebody, but we can't look for a single leader to save us unless we look to Jesus Christ, Doctor.
Indeed, it's true. And I've got a chapter in my book, Preserve the Nation, called The Moral Imperative, and it addresses this issue extensively in the words of the American Founding Fathers, that this idea of virtue and morality is absolutely essential. I mean, John Adams said a religious and a moral people was the only people that could be governed by a constitution. And again, we have abandoned this in favor of our chasing, whether it's wealth or power or leisure or lust or whatever it is in the nation. I mean, there's so many deadly sins, if you will, but we have allowed ourselves to be distracted, and we are on the verge of a comeuppance, I'm afraid. And by the way, if we do take it to arms in the street, I fear that will open the door perform an intervention to the point that, we may have even a bigger problem on our hands, and there'll be people saying, let's bring the United Nations in to oversee this thing, and holy cow, I can see this whole thing unraveling very easily. But we do need honesty, integrity. We need a true, honest, independent review of what happened in this election. But if people are going to say we got to have this done in the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month, whatever it is, it's going to be hard-pressed because nothing happened in 4 years when they had the door open and people said, let's look at this.
Well, and you even had the House and the Senate and the courts and the president. I mean, you had everything to move the needle towards the proper role of government, and they simply squandered their opportunity. Now, Biden will roll back parts of Trump's agenda with a stroke of a pen. And I bring this up because this highlights exactly what I'm talking about. The president was too fast and furious with executive orders. Some of them, we didn't like the executive order, but we thought, hey, there's no other choice but to bring some good back. But now we're going to go the opposite direction with a stroke of a pen, violating the checks and balances. Once again, that secret combination will be above the people, and it spells trouble, to say the least. Kurt, do you want to finish on this note?
Well, the thing that I would add is, at least when it comes to, not really rebutting Dr. Scott's comment about, hey, we went 4 years and didn't ever get to the bottom line of this, as well, I think your comments have kind of reflected that a little bit. But we have seen the president in really tight spots. For example, the COVID or the Wuhan flu or the Chinese virus, whatever you want to call it. In that situation, he marshaled the forces of even government to do the things that he was, quote, counseled to do with the whole testing idea and the ventilators and all these different things. And it was amazing to me to see how much quicker things could be done compared to the standard 7 to 10 years or whatever it was, the massive, it's kind of like the old days where we're told in the Constitution that we have the right of a speedy trial, and it takes, I don't know, many years for one of those to happen. And yet, with the president's efforts, I've been amazed at how much quicker things can get done. Now, I will say this when it comes to the voting, I think that it's, almost it's just vital that we do look into this and that we do all we can to rectify the situation. And like, I've had this ongoing conversation with a neighbor of mine that's definitely been a never Trumper, if not a Biden supporter. But, he has commented several times that he is for honesty in the elections. And so if we can really, get to that point and really expose the info that's available, I think maybe people will, at least go along there. Now, there's some that are going to just hate the results one way or the other. And I just pray for peace when it comes to that.
Yeah, we agree with you that we hope for that, Kurt, and we're not suggesting that President Trump shouldn't try to get to the bottom of it, and we shouldn't hope the courts do the right thing, and we aren't saying that the Electoral College, we hope they do the right thing. We still have a hope and a prayer, and we're not conceding this election one bit. I'm convinced that a coup d'etat has happened, and I pray that we can get to the bottom of it, as you wisely said. So I just have a feeling, from what I've seen over the last 4 years and really in our nation, we don't get to the bottom of these secret combinations. And we're not a moral people. And if we're not going to get to the bottom of the secret combinations and stop them, and if we're not a moral people, I fear for the result. When the AP calls it, who the heck is the AP to call an election? So that's the kind of point that I'm talking about. It's very scary indeed. And I pray for success, as you wisely call for. Doctor, last word's yours.
Noah Webster, one of the founding fathers, said all secret attempts by associations or others to give one set of men or party advantages over another are mean, dishonorable, and immoral. All secret combinations of men to gain for themselves or their party advantages and preferments of office are trespasses upon the rights of others. Nothing can be honorable which is morally wrong. That's where we are right now in America, people. Secret combinations are running this nation, unfortunately.
And I concur with Kurt. I pray for a tender mercy, and I think we need to fight this fraud all the way I just pray and hope that God blesses us and we do the right thing. Amen to Kurt's points. God save the Republic.